Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Welcome to Four-Sided Dive, Critical Role's monthly talk show featuring a roundtable discussion about the events and characters of our current campaign, alongside a heavy helping of hijinks. Four-Sided Dive airs the first Tuesday of every month at 7 p.m. Pacific on twitch.tv/Critical Role and youtube.com/Critical Role, with the VOD available on YouTube the very next day. And of course, each episode releases right here on the Critical Role Podcast Network 1 week after the initial broadcast. Let's dive into the chaos.
All the characters died on the last episode.
Yes. So even the children?
Look, there was no other way for that show
survivors.
To end.
Yeah, it kind of...
like The Sopranos, dinosaurs.
Yeah. See, it's the true accurate end that all media needs.
Yeah. Follow it to the end.
I think so.
You know what? Look, that's how life works for most people. Why are you doing that at me?
Speaking of the inevitable end.
I'm leaving.
Oh, we're doing this again.
We're doing this again.
All right. I'll pick the last
highest
one.
Hosts. Figure.
Highest hosts.
Highest hosts. Highest hosts. All right. Uno, dos, tres.
You knocked me.
Well, I get a reroll because I hosted last time. That's what Kyle said. That 20 doesn't count for shit. Watch this low number.
That's cocked.
Oh, same we got rollies. Sam.
We got rollies. We got rollies.
I don't want to do it again. Fuck! Come on!
All right, buddy.
What? Come on.
I'll take one for the team.
No! That's
you
it.
Piss off.
That's it.
Get on up.
If you want me to do it, I'll do it.
Oh, God.
You're angered.
The tavern chooses its keeper.
Statistically, that should not have...
No, you rolled like four times.
It was your destiny.
Good evening, Earth, and welcome to Four-Sided Dive. I am Travis Willingham, your 15th tavern keeper.
Oh, 15.
And we have a very special program for you this evening.
Oh, that's phonetically spelled out. Okay, cool.
It's gonna make, I'm gonna kick somebody's shins. Ashton's got a brand new bespoke hammer, and he's ready to pound some heroism down on the Ruby Vanguard. Will Talis and Jaffe tell us what the switch does on his fancy new hammer? Let's find out.
Oh.
I thought that was it. But wait! There's more. FCG may have taken up smoking, but with 5 easy payments of 20 Changebringer coins, Sam Riga will tell us what happens to his stress points when he tries to quit cold turkey.
Ooh.
But wait! Oh. There's more! How do we say this name?
Tuyen.
Tuyen of the Prism Emporium sent Chetney a mouth smack full of silver dust as payback for threatening her 30 million episodes ago. And I don't know about you, but this got me thinking about that age-old question, does a spoonful of silver dust really cure a broken heart? The answer is no. But wait! Stop, you bitch! I have more things to say! Matthew Mercer has finally surfaced on Four-Sided Dive to answer the question on everyone's mind. Why? What the fuck, Matthew? Why? Ah! Just up, and I was already doing that. I was like, I feel like I inferred the note before I
go on that.
That was good.
Lesson learned.
But for the love of all the prime deities, has it always been in all caps?
Nope, just now.
Okay. But for the love of all the prime deities, both the good ones and the dickish ones, wait, there is more. Four-Sided Dive can bits. We want to take a moment to talk about our unofficial sponsor for tonight's episode, Four-Sided Dive's Canned Bits. Each and every can of Four-Sided Dive's Canned Bits is overflowing with ethically sourced, totally organic canned bits. We vacuum seal every single can with a special vacuum they use on the space shuttle to make sure the maximum amount of canned bits make their way into every can. You're going to go bananas over just how many canned bits we can cram into these fucking cans. Mm-mm-mm. smell the can. Now those are indeed some fresh fucking canned bits. Our very own Moppo is the genius behind these tantalizing canned bits, and we love them so, so much. And I'm not just saying that because Moppo is staring menacingly at me from behind the camera. You might be asking yourself, what are they? Are they a food product? A toy? An experimental beauty product? Well, the answer to all of these things is yes, but most importantly, Foresighted Dives Canned Bits is a lifestyle brand focused entirely on violently jam-packing as many canned bits as we can into these aluminum receptacles. So remember, when you're in the canned bit aisle, pick the canned bits with the can-do attitude. Foresighted Dives Canned Bits. We're doing our best! But wait, one more thing!
No more things!
Later, we'll be playing Super Fight.
What is that?
I think it's a card game.
Yeah. A card game?
Yes.
A car game.
Oh,
game. It's Demolition Derby time. Welcome to Foresighted Dive. Let's do a fucking show!
Yeah!
But wait.
Oh no!
No!
Welcome back. Let's begin the night with our open discussion segment. What the fuck is up with that?
Oh, God.
Listen, it's my choice.
Yeah, it's true.
So, Matthew.
Oh, God.
What the fuck is up with that?
Oh, God.
I'm going to spit all over
Please,
you.
Just arc it
just
over here.
So what? This is everything from us coming together to the very last episode that we played. So, man, we got all sorts of shit.
Yeah.
Like what?
Well, Apogee Solstice.
Yeah. That happened a long time ago.
Goodness.
But I guess we're seeing the effects of it now.
From two
so
different groups.
So, I have a question for you, Matt.
Yes, please. Go ahead.
What magic doesn't work? All divine magic? Just sending? Just some divine magic that is far apart from each other? So... Well, like, what's the rules? Do we know the rules? We don't know the rules.
We don't know the specific rules.
That there are rules.
There are things, some things that work, some things that are a little futzy, and some things that don't. Sending is definitely one of the spells that is very challenged to get through. It's kind of like a solar radiation scenario right now with the extended Apogee Solstice, where, like, the information of ascending doesn't quite make it through. More powerful spells and things that have direct connections to divinity work well in some locations and are more challenged than others. And other weird things.
Is there any divine related to certain gods that they make up certain spells, Matt? Are those gods dead?
What? No, it's...
Are some gods dead already?
Definitely a positive
thing.
Are some gods dead already?
I mean, historically, there's two that you know were devoured by...
I know, but I mean newly dead.
The safe answer.
Freshly dead?
Freshly dead grass.
I don't know. You should ask around.
Fair.
Okay.
Can you talk between... If you had two people at different ley line crossings, would sending actually work there?
Like the Library of Congress? Like just kind of over
the... Or like a telegraph. A telegram, you know. You just have to
worth
have
it. Worth
a try. It would be worth a try.
It's pretty ingenious for a game master to be like... Only some spells don't work, and I'm not going to tell you which ones. That way, if someone says, like, I'm going to summon fey creatures, you can be like, nope, that doesn't work. Sorry, I don't want to.
That's actually very, very smart.
I wish I had thought of it that way. Could still do it that way, I guess.
Yeah.
No, I mean, predominantly, like, here's the thing. Information is the villain to tension and stakes. Mm. And so for certain... as facets of this story, somebody else's quote that I fucked up.
Oh, you made that up.
On Foresighted Dive.
There you go. But
on Foresighted Dive.
Listen, sometimes inspiration hits. You just got to run with it. Run like the wind.
Right off a cliff.
Run like the wind.
Yeah, primarily I wanted to present a scenario where you were kind of lost, worried, and unable to gain the information that is more readily available at those times and kind of see how that changed the landscape of the world with a logistical reason that made sense for why that is the case. So after two, campaigns of being like, I wonder about this. I'll just cast a spell and find out about it.
Yeah, yeah.
To shift that up for a bit and kind of like
that's great.
Give that kind of, oh God, now we're running at suboptimal scenario. We don't really have the answer, nor do we have a means of contacting each other. Makes for an interesting flavor change for the tension.
Speaking of someone asking for and receiving answers, my character, Fresh Cut Grass, best character on the show, has been asking for guidance on occasion recently, even after Solstice, and has been getting responses. Does that mean that Fresh Cut Grass's god, the Changebringer, best god in the pantheon, is is the most powerful? Like, because everything seems to still be working with her. Is she like more powerful than the others?
Does this mean that Fresh Cut Grass is now the champion of the Changebringer?
Oh boy, I hope so. I've never been a champion.
No.
Yes, you
are. That's the out and out cold fuck you know. Not maybe, not dig a little deeper, not explore that thread. Fucking no. Here's a coin, bitch.
You gotta earn that.
Amazing.
You earned it.
Well, I will say, from my perspective, if there ever was a time where the deities are kind of all hands on deck, anyone listening and anyone that could be useful, now's the time to go ahead and rally who's available. And I think they've made a little bit of that intention and that intensity clear with some of those visions and interactions. But yeah, they're under threat.
Sure.
And so while you've been kind of knocking around the outside gate of old Changebringer's realm and they've been a little like, I'll let them leave a message, you know? Now they're like, listen, if you really want to help, shit's bad.
Okay. So. Okay. Yes, host of the show?
Question. Hi, Travis Willingham, fan of the show. I've watched it since 2012.
Thank you, Travis.
Do all of the gods have champions?
Question's so loud. Can you just?
Sorry. Do all of the gods have champions?
Often they do, though champions don't normally. Need to be holding that office in times of peace. Some of them can, you know, discard the title for a while and then be called when it's necessary. Some, it's a title for life. It depends on the entity. It depends on the god. Depends on the history. Sometimes champions are like, you know, for a brief time, I've exalted you, and now you go do a thing for me. Cool. Go back to being normal. Some people, it's a right hand scenario, like with the Matron of Ravens. You know, it's a.
Or I was going to say, or like the Hercules, the Greek gods, and then they had their favorite, you know, kids out there. Mm-hmm. Do the betrayer gods have champions still, or are they just very shut off from the world?
Oh yeah, no, they have champions. If anything, they're more eager to have champions because they're the ones who want to try and muck with and finagle things on Exandria to their advantage. And they, you know, unlike the other entities that have open worship and have power through society, betrayers generally have to work a little more direct to gain the influence they wanted.
I'm looking at this wrong. Is Ludinus a champion of a betrayer god?
Ooh, that's a cool theory.
Or does he just want all the gods dead? You know what I think FCG should do? We got to hunt down the Changebringer champion and.
Oh, are there more than one champion?
There can only be one.
There can't.
You cut his head off, or their head off, and you take a sword and. I've seen it in a movie.
It's just the rule.
I like that idea.
Yeah, and then you have to speak with a Scottish accent for the rest of the campaign. Yeah. I think that's the rule.
Some gods have more than one champion.
Whoa.
But they have less importance, it's more divided. Either they can put all their energy into one champion and make them extremely worthy and powerful, or they can disseminate that kind of intention against multiple people. And
gosh, I wonder how things are going for the betrayer gods right now.
Thought bubble?
I was hoping.
We're doing a dissolve?
I was hoping to dissolve into you explaining how what's going on.
Dissolve into a close-up.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait, they do.
Yeah,
take
man.
Two,
I
take
wonder
two.
What they're up to,
go
too.
Go to another one.
I wonder what's going on with the betrayer gods right now.
Look, we're breaking the mold here. We're changing.
Never. They're just, yeah, they're not doing it. Never mind.
Yeah, sorry. No, I bet they're doing, I bet they're having a. I bet they're having their own time.
Oh, yeah? You bet they're having a good time?
Yeah. This is, I wonder, an interrogation.
Tell all. This is tell all.
No, it is not.
From DoorDash or having a great time.
No!
Speaking of lewdness.
Yes.
The last time we saw Mr. Daleth was on the surface of Ruidus, yes?
Seemed to be that case, yeah.
Yes, and he was...
It's all staged.
What the fuck is up with that?
He was with Liliana?
With Liliana.
And Odahan.
No, Odahan was not present.
Just Liliana. But it also seemed like Nightmare King was on a different
part. Ira was creeping
Ira
around
was
somewhere.
Somebody else. Mm-hmm. And they were marching through. Wait, was Ludinus and Liliana marching through the
They
storm?
Were marching, and the Nightmare King met in a room with someone, and it looked like they telepathically traded.
Sure.
They had the skull. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And then, but Ludinus and Liliana were in a city marching through. Correct. Everyone was marching through. Well, this is everyone's kind of pose on ruin.
Well, this heavy dust and Bella a lot of ghost. Hard things to push through. So yeah.
Okay. So they're there. They're where they want to be. What could that be? So they're in a city. There's no other people there.
Well, you don't know that.
There.
It's true. It's true.
You just saw these shapes of structures in the middle of a dust.
They could be underground. That's what happens
where
when
they wanted to go. They're going to see Perdathos.
Yeah, something is. That it feels like they like ice cream scooped a part of Exandria, city and all, like encapsulated it in the moon with that divine gate latticework, and then sent it up. I don't know why it stopped there. Like it could have just kept going and doomsday throw them into space. Oh, really?
They tried to
chunk it.
Chunk it entirely, and it just kind of got locked.
Oh, in orbit because of gravity or because something stopped?
They were off a couple decimal points.
Didn't have enough power, maybe, because we fucked some shit up. Mm-hmm.
Well, the original creation of Ruidus, they tried to chuck it.
No. Yeah.
The royal we.
The royal, yes.
Perdathos is like, what, in there? In the city? Is the city under the backside of the moon? Like,
I don't know. We got nothing.
How big is Perdathos? Perdathos could be as big as the moon. Or just a little guy.
A little cute frog in a top hat with a cane.
Yeah.
Hello, my baby. Hello.
I already got the mini for it.
Ooh.
For Perdathos?
For the tiny frog.
Oh, shit. I was like, is it in the map room somewhere? Do you have a Perdathos mini? Perdathos?
It's just Perdathos?
Beach ball. It's a big red beach ball.
Yeah, I just spray painted it. I do not have a mini for Perdathos, no. Yet.
Inside check.
Doesn't work
out. Damn it.
I'd be impressed if it did. Like, oh shit, that's 24, I guess.
What else do we need to know? We went to, do we have any Malazmir questions for him?
There's no out of bounds here.
Yeah, ask anything. I'll respond to the things that I feel like I can.
Imogen's mom was up there?
Yeah, Leon was up there.
Yeah. You know, I would assume that there's probably quite a few people up there at this point, that they've got like a little landing party and like have set up some sort of base. That's what I would do, is just have like, you know, 30 or 40 people.
Sure.
Setting there was up a Matt Damon planning.
I was going to say, it's Matt Damon and potatoes all the way around.
pooping on his potato.
Yeah. Yep.
Poop potato.
And they're also sending entities down.
Potatoes. That's damn. Brought it.
Boil them, mash them, stick them on a moon. Anyway.
I do feel bad we didn't get to see the Wolf King more. I feel like we should have brought that one out into the light after having seen the mini.
Oh, that's fine.
We can always go back.
Yeah.
I've got some places to go back.
We got
a bunch of places to go back to.
Now, where did you guys go? You went to Asilra. Fucked with the Dawn Father.
Oh, I saw this on a piece of paper. It says the loam and the leaf, because we all know what a loam is.
It's fertile soil consisting of clay, sand, and silt, usually 40%. 40% and 20%.
You knew?
Wow.
Oh, I knew that off the top of my head.
No way Googled that about 25 minutes ago.
No, I'm sure.
The loam and the leaf was the group that you guys foiled?
Helped.
Out.
Yeah.
They were a resistance movement within Hearthdale to the somewhat oppressive presence of the Dawn Father's Temple.
And what do you think, Taliesin? Was the Dawn Father a good guy in this,
no,
or a bad guy in this?
Very much a bad guy.
Really? Yes. But he's a...
Like having a bad day, or...
No, you, no.
Was it man twisting his divine words and...
No.
Seeking, okay.
But no.
Was it out of desperation? Like sometimes people do crazy things when they're put in a corner?
I think it was out of desperation the same way of like, you
or
know...
Love.
No, it was. I think it was out of desperation the same way of like, you know, of like, well, you know, we're going to war, we're going to need some materials. There's a bunch of people living here. What if they just weren't? So we're just going to take all this, and you're either going to convert or fucking vanish. So yeah, they went in and were like literally.
Because you put into your boomstick a bunch of nuggets or something, but we haven't asked you what it was.
Yeah, where'd you find it?
What were the materials you wanted people to
take? Oh, Oh boy, that's that goes further and further along.
This is what this is for.
That's what this is for.
We can share info.
So yeah, what do I want to say?
We're trying to dive, you guys.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to figure out what I want to say. So yeah, we found these. We went into a cave because we wanted to go home, and going home in this reality means often going into a cave.
Sure.
Like you do. And we found these crazy fucking crystals that when you put magic in them, when you shot magic at them, it would scatter. It would it was almost a prismatic effect.
And that's why you kept holding your hammer in front of Imogen last game.
Yeah, I had a.
You thought it would like scatter.
Yeah, I've had a brief discussion with some of the spellcasters, kind of explaining what I think it's going to do. So.
Yeah, what do you think it's going to do?
I think it should do what it did in the cave, maybe.
It could refract and/or send back or any number of things. Well, you said chaos. You were all about chaos.
I'm all about. Yeah, I mean, like, gotta try shit.
So if someone was casting lightning bolts, it could split it into six, maybe, and three of them hit where they want, and three of them hit somewhere else.
Maybe.
I have a ton of spells. I think you should use me as a guinea pig.
I'd love that.
I will cast Inflict Wounds into the hammer.
Well, I don't know if that'll work.
I don't think it will.
No, I think that's
it's either that or Minor Image.
Well, I mean,
or invisibility.
It's worth a shot.
I mean.
Visibility could be fun.
That could be fun.
Oh!
There's other things.
I've done other things to the hammer too. The hammer has got a bunch of. I did a bunch of.
Did you describe how it looks yet in the game?
We had a very. You described a little bit of it, although it's being refined right now. But it's a bigger. It's a little
bigger.
The shape of the head of the hammer is a little off now.
Yeah, I suppose it was like a square glass hammer. That head is still there, but there's now like these almost like wing projections of crystals on the sides of it that stick outward,
like on, more on traditional warhammer. Hammer.
Yeah.
On the back of it.
On either side of
the hammer. Oh, either side. Like it's got ears? Like it's got a little fish.
Yeah, sure. Actually, that's not even half
a problem to be hit with.
But it's also the actual handle of the hammer now actually has like a little bit of, I want to say, base technology in it, but there's like a little switch system. There's a little tech in
like
it.
Like a little Hawkeye? Like
multiple switches.
One switch.
And it's just on or off.
Yep.
And that's the prism effect.
Nope.
Is it like Blade's sword?
No.
So if somebody picks it up and doesn't push the button, it'll make their hands explode?
No, well, that too. Maybe. But
what does the button do?
We should grab his hammer.
I will say that a couple people have tried to guess it, and so far only one person has been right guessing it.
Who was it?
That was Danny Carr.
Hi.
Danny!
By the way,
guess. You were about to say something?
One guess.
Oh, it was dumb. But I was going to say that the one thing to remember about the crystals is that they also lessen the impact of the spell. Because the spell is pushed through. And so it doesn't do quite as much damage as it would. But invisibility could be interesting because you could almost say something like, well, it goes through, but invisibility, which lasts a certain amount of time, if it hits a couple more extra people, maybe that time is lessened, but they are all invisible.
Or maybe they
God knows what refined crystals
invisible.
Will do now. Who knows?
They get partially invisible, but like their knee is still visible, and one guy's ear is still invisible. And Chetney's Wang is still visible.
You see a knee wandering through there.
Wait, so do we have a name for this crystal? Like what it's actually called?
Nobody's aware of its name or its
source,
presence.
It was origin.
Well, its origin, at least, they discovered it kind of within this cave around the Verdant Tomb.
Who put it there or why?
What it comes from, pressure and time, an angel's toots.
Uh-huh. Well, what they do know is that the cavern that it was in was referred to as the Verdant Tomb, was being watched over by a Hierophant.
Who has been trapped.
Guarding the kind of long entombed, like crystal trapped spirit of a Gaudrashari.
The
Gaudrasharis.
Yeah.
Oh.
That cave was interesting.
Oh. Can we go back there?
Oh yeah, no,
we're going back to lots of places, right?
We are actually going back there because apparently the interesting cult that I was born in is not that far away. So
really?
Apparently, it's
or
yeah
was.
Yeah, you learned a lot about yourself, and then also something happened to you that gave you a focus.
Yeah,
you're on a path now.
I am.
You've got a goal, a purpose.
I do.
What's up with that?
God, I'm trying to think of how much to say that's not like too.
What changed you? I don't watch our content. Did it happen on? Did it happen in the stream?
It did. It wasn't like a very loud moment, but it was definitely definitely, and it keeps getting very well backed up by
but
both.
You discovered something that had this, or was it a character interaction that, that?
It was a couple character interactions, not the least of which was watching someone try and murder all of us because of what we did during the solstice, which was kind of an interesting
experience.
Oh, the
guy from the Ruby Vanguard, or from the
Mordor?
And then,
Mordor.
Yeah. Mordor. And then, the whole thing at the, you know, with the Allfather and the...
Dawnfather?
Dawnfather. This is my brain right now.
That's okay, dude.
Yeah, the caffeine's kicking in. Yeah, and then like finding out about the cult and a little bit about what they were trying to do and kind of seeing a broader bird's eye view of my life, of Ashton's life, is starting to kind of make sense in a very strange way of like this repeating pattern and theme to who they are and where they came from and where they're going. And wow, I guess like the big thing is finally there's someone to blame, which It's much easier not to be angry at everything all the time when you can just be angry at a couple things. Ooh,
that's
true. So feeling way better.
Instead of very devil may care, you're actually starting to care about your past and wonder about all those things.
Devil could care.
Ooh.
I specifically.
I bring a lot to this show. Like,
it is interesting that I came from a group of people who would have probably had a very serious opinion about what's going on right now, and yeah, maybe this was. What it was supposed to
what
be.
What would their opinion have been?
They were not about the gods. They were about this, like the nature spirits and earth spirits.
Oh, the Hishari.
Yeah, the Hishari.
Or the Gaudrishari.
The Hishari.
Who was trapped
are,
in the cave?
Hishari are knockoff of Gaudrishari.
From what I understand, they're a little more, I don't want to say weaponized, but they were definitely trying to like gain some power.
From what you could ascertain, and the way it was referred to from the druid that was there, who is the druid that you met, the Hierophant, Havestro,
that's right.
I don't know if it came up, and it doesn't really matter so much, but they were a self, I don't want to say ostracized, but they went in, they hermited from Pyra. They are a member of the Ashari, who is essentially assigned to this tomb to keep watch over it. The Hishari, which is not a given name, that was a name that they made for themselves to try and tether themselves to the history of the Ashari and the Gaudrishari, this odd cult. The other actual, like, natural wardens of the Ashari tribes do not like that they did that. It's kind of like having this long history and tradition and culture, and then having a bunch of upstart, you know, kind of pseudo cult young folk going like, cool, we're just like you guys, our name's just a little bit different. Uh-huh. And you're like, no, fuck you guys. What the fuck is this?
Get your own thing.
And then they went and blew themselves up and they're like, yeah, fucking right. That's essentially the Hishari.
Yeah, it's interesting.
They're a cautionary tale in Isildur.
They definitely and what they were trying to do is very interesting.
Yeah. Should look into it more.
I'm really looking forward to it. So yeah, just the very notion of having a focus for why life is shitty is really fascinating. So
also the better half of the group, otherwise known as Orm, Chetney, and Fern,
easy mode, yes,
were granted. That was too fast. We were granted a vision by the Temple of the Matron of Ravens.
That was a really cool scene.
Mm. That was rough.
Yeah.
Time
and it
like
was bronze. Vax screaming.
You mean the sphere?
As a ball.
Yep.
Yeah, I know he's Vax, Travis. I at least know that.
That's good. That's progress.
Yeah.
You gotta celebrate that.
He's like a bowling ball that can scream.
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, I thought it just like used him up immediately or something. He's just continuously being tortured.
Nice. Sorry. Liam's gonna watch this. Shit. No.
Should we have run a check to see if the sphere was any smaller or larger to see if it was being diminished in its use?
That would have been a good idea.
What the fuck is up with that?
What the fuck is up with that,
huh? That's a really good idea.
Oh, yeah, like if it's getting smaller and smaller, maybe there's a ticking clock and we got to get to it before.
There was a small digital clock underneath it. Oh, it's just counting down.
Like this is 24.
Yeah,
little,
exactly.
Little predator symbols. It's like.
Maybe that's it. Maybe we have to, like, cut the blue wire or something before it.
Cut the blue. Put the green!
Yeah, no, we gotta get in there. We gotta get in there and defuse that thing.
Yeah, just have just have FCG go in and cut the wire and save the day. That's it. Campaign
the best
solved.
Final battle of a campaign. Yeah. It's just like, all right, make a dexterity check. All right, no, you won.
Somebody with a rag to like put, but like you don't even sweat. You just want the somebody to like be patting your forehead for that.
But it's weird because tell me if you feel differently. It feels like we connected a bridge to where Predathos is, but not unleashed Predathos or gotten any closer. Like the road is just open. So like they are ahead of us on that road, and if we tried to catch up, maybe we could. Like maybe we could hitch a ride on the sky elevator thingy.
These terms are canonically
accurate, Danny.
I'm here for Sky Elevator.
Skelevator?
The Skelevator?
Skelevator.
I think they just got access to now they have to go there and figure out how to unlock Get everything. Yeah, I don't think it's unlocked yet. That's my call. Is
well, maybe it's not.
There.
Maybe it's not a Skelevator. Maybe that was the white light. Maybe that was Liliana being like, "All right, let's go," and that was the white light.
Mm. Ooh.
So. If they needed to get up there, but it's still locked, like Ludinus should be able to unlock the door from Ruidus, right? It's a divine mesh gate.
Yeah, it seems like he was trapped inside of whatever the sphere of Ruidus is. So if he can find like a seal, a door, a window that he has to smash.
Sudoku or something.
A mirror.
But he already built this crazy big thing just to make the Sky Evader.
Uh-huh. And maybe to get access through the golden lattice work.
Nope.
They go up and down.
Punching a hole through the wall to get into the prison.
They go up and down.
Yeah.
But.
Stalls at the top.
They just choke point. They look which way they're going to go and then come down.
Oh my God. Well, you got to do work at the top.
You got to do work at the top.
Oh my God.
You know?
Why?
Don't neglect the bottom either, you know?
Why? Oh, yeah. You're right.
Very inappropriate.
But he built this big thing, used it. He doesn't have another device to unlock the gate that we know of, right? We haven't seen any signs of him building a second thing or
assembling. Maybe it's not about that. Maybe, you know, maybe it's just like, you know. Do the old-fashioned sacrifice a bunch of people on a side.
Oh,
a lot of options.
Okay.
But I could say, at the very least, because it's been a bit, and it's good to clarify. The scope of what it seemed like he was wanting to accomplish, and the eventful speeches he gave that evening, the confidence of him seemed like victory was more imminent. A number of points of damage were sustained around the power source via intruding parties, as well as crashing skyships that drastically reduced the population of the Ruby Vanguard.
Oh, yeah.
So you get the sense that while he did succeed, it maybe wasn't 100% of what he was hoping to accomplish, and now they're trying to adapt and find a way to close that gap.
Got it. So this was supposed to open the pathway, unlock the doors, invite Predathos down, maybe. But instead, Predathos's coat is like, it's caught on a nail.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And he's got to go up and just like, bloop, get it off, and then he'll be free.
The gods that spoke to you, and I guess it would depend on, it probably would have been shared by your previous flame,
Diana.
But they were referred to. You know, must not awaken. The red end must not awaken.
He's either awake or he's not awake.
But he's still asleep. Yet.
Correct. Don't wake daddy.
Don't wake daddy. It all comes back to don't wake daddy.
Don't wake daddy.
So Ludinus and Liliana are marching to Predathos to be like, hey, get away.
We made coffee.
It's time for school.
There's donuts.
It's almost 8:00.
And they flapjack.
Fraggle Rock is on.
Oh, yeah.
And I think more or less.
And they're just assuming that if they wake him up, that like Predathos would be like, thanks, I'm going to go eat some gods now, and not just devour them and everyone on the planet instantly.
They're just assuming.
Could be a hibernating bear who eats the first thing it sees.
They know something that other people don't.
Ludinus is a very, very intelligent individual. And probably old. One of the smartest and one of the oldest. Probably, yeah, one of the oldest on Alexandria. So his confidence, given all these things, is worrying.
Well, you said one of the oldest?
There are entities in the realm that are older than him.
Not that are not like gyno sphinxes and stuff. Like, should we be trying to find people older than Ludinus to chat with?
I think that they might just be tired. I don't know.
It's possible.
Just over it at this point.
Yeah. Just, yep. If they haven't
been around
up yet,
for forever.
They're out.
I can't die. I don't know what else to do.
My back hurts.
I got goats.
Just gonna sit here and watch Matlock till the world ends. Yep. At this
go
point.
To Palm Springs in the weekends. That's all I need.
And we saw. The voice of the Tempest.
Yeah.
She was rough. I gotta say, I loved the way you described her in bed with open wounds that weren't healing, and she was wearing her antlers in bed for some reason. Take that shit off! Are they part of her
head? She's proud. She's too proud.
In my head, it was the last time that she laid down or collapsed. Like, it was essentially whatever she was wearing, they kind of just let her lie there.
Sure.
She had the wound moves.
Yeah.
But also, the open wounds, I kept thinking, like, can't they at least wrap them up? I mean, that seems like it's fraught with infection if you just kind of leave them open like that.
It's more fun to describe them
that way. I know it is. It's such a better visual.
It's visceral.
But, like, yeah, she really...
In the middle of getting her bandages changed.
She didn't even make us wash our hands when we walked in the room.
Infections? Like, can't they just produce their own antibiotics?
They are immune to disease.
Yeah.
But are they, when they've got this toxin on them that doesn't allow them to heal?
That's a good question.
Oh my God.
It's just Vaseline. Odohan was just like,
oh God.
Slice. Keep the wound wet.
Question.
Yes.
If the druids are immune to diseases, how does the toxin work on them at all?
Uh-huh.
Well, it's a poison. It's not a disease.
A toxin is different than a disease.
Oh. Yeah. I also, I appreciated Keyleth's decor, but also, what? She's got like all these paintings of like these horrible disasters in her life.
The tapestries?
Yeah, the tapestries. She's grim. She's got a grim streak.
She's been hanging with Percy. It's canon, so just saying.
Well, if you had asked about them.
They memorialize.
They memorialize her. Big moments, but also most of them are gifts.
Oh, okay. Oh, really?
And there are other things throughout the chamber and the House of Blow. We didn't get into too much detail about it, but there's a lot of things that are like collected or gifted from people to kind of like commemorate things and moments, and some of them are just memories, some of them are you get gifts that you're like, I mean, I feel obligated to show this off, you know, because someone put a lot of time into this.
Bedroom,
yeah,
my mother.
Well, it was her office adjoining her bedroom.
Is that right? I'm disappointed in you and Fern because you didn't steal anything.
I really...
You don't go into the president's bed boudoir and not steal at least four or five things.
Ashton had this very weird moment where they were, oh my God, she's fucking cool. Like, yeah, Ashton really liked Keyleth. Yeah, it was just like, yeah, this looks great. I'm into it.
Those are cool.
Yeah.
I stole a bunch of mugs really from Skywalker Ranch.
In real life? In real life,
yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
How many do you think?
They trolled the internet for their
how many?
Name.
I stole four because I wanted
this
set.
It goes out live to the internet.
I understand. I was at Skywalker Ranch, and they have like tea mugs there that say Skywalker Ranch on them that, you know, for like voiceover artists or whatever people are doing up there. And I was like, I was there for 2 days recording, and every day I stole two of them. I wanted them.
Did you like sneak them out like handfuls of dirt as you're slowly like trying to pick your way through the prison wall? Did you Shawshank these fucking mugs?
I had like a backpack and I would finish my tea and wait till no one was looking.
Did you Shawshank
your pants are just baggy and clangy, like ceramic clangy when you walk. Like this dumb motherfucker.
He's got $1 million. He'll be fine.
What else did you take?
You know,
take?
If
just
everyone takes a mug, eventually it does hurt. Just, everybody takes a fucking mug now.
What do we do if we get an inquiry from Skywalker?
They don't watch the show, do they?
No.
No one tell them.
We'll be proactive. Just, Here on Four-Sided Dive, we like to keep a closed loop community. Everything that's said on the show, we know we can trust you with.
Snitches get stitches.
Oh, also, Sam, when did you take up a majority share in Dogecoin?
I found this shirt. To the moon.
Cute ass expression. It's just been staring at this whole
fucking time. I can't not look.
You gotta buy the dip. I found this shirt. I found this shirt in Korea, and I thought it sort of looked like Omar.
Aww.
So I bought it for myself, not for you.
You bought a shirt of someone else's dog.
You're so fucking weird.
Is this like a power move against your dog?
Weird, Sam.
Just to make your dog sad?
That's a picture.
Like I bought a dog shirt, but not you. Not you. Never you.
Please tell me you go to like some kid's birthday party with a picture of them on the shirt. And the parents are like, is that our kid? On your shirt? Did you get one for us? No, it's for me. It's just for me. Oh, shit.
Oh, God.
I got problems.
Oh.
Oh, no.
The prompter is wiggling.
The prompter's yelling.
Oh, is that a cue?
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, wiggle it again just for me. Hey, look at Moves. It's time for a poll from the Tower of Inquiry. You folks know the drill. We pull a block from the tower, read the number on it, and Danny reads us a question corresponding to the number, and then y'all find out what flavor of ice cream our characters would be.
There are a lot of those questions.
That's good. And if the tower should fall, terrible consequences will follow the person responsible for its destruction. Truly horrific, extra cruel consequences, considering that is a fresh tower. If y'all ruin a fresh tower, what the fuck is wrong with you? It does feel sanded down. It looks pretty pristine.
Yeah, we glued it again.
Oh
boy.
Oh, we're fine then.
And so, with that in mind, because Mercer won't tell us the stuff that we want, why don't you pull a block?
Got it. Yeah. I get that. That's fair. Okay. Hi.
You got this.
I mean,
it's... First block, fuck everybody else up.
Yep. Oh, we have coasters.
Yeah.
I'm not using.
Oh, wow.
Like a coaster? Yes, please.
I would like a coaster.
I don't know, I just hear it. I feel like we should.
Alrighty, number 14.
14?
If the character was a chair, what color would it be?
All right, well, sorry, Vorboat, but it's what chair would you be? No. Vorboat on Twitter says, what trait of one of your fellow party members is your character most jealous of?
What trait of one of your fellow party members
is your character jealous of?
Jealous of.
I'm picking the easy one. I would love to be able to read people's thoughts. I don't know if I would care too much for an unrestricted deluge of thoughts from everyone around me, but being able to pick and choose would be pretty sweet, because all they would be saying is, I hope I can get on that. Sweet old gnomish love.
I love the confidence he has.
Yep. Unfailing. And misplaced.
I think Fresh Cut Grass is real jealous of Fern.
Oh, interesting choice.
Because Fern can experience life in many different animal forms. Mm. And I think I became a turtle at one point, which was nice, but didn't I? I became something at one point.
Yeah, I was a turtle, if I recall.
Yes.
Briefly. But I would like... I would like that. But also, as Sam Riegel is jealous of the werewolf thing, because that's just so cool.
Hey!
So cool.
Thank you, Sam.
Took through the campaigns, what we got there.
Right.
Man, I mean, there's a couple answers, but I'll go with Fern. Ashton's a little envious of Fern, since it was kind of their first exposure to, like, your family is not a disaster. I'm really upset. Most families should be a disaster because they're terrible, and that's why I'm fine that I don't have one. Grandma was like, wow, I dig this vibe.
Yeah, functional as far as like faith functionality in a family goes, but it's far more functional than a lot of families I grew up around.
Yeah, and very,
mine was great.
Very much something that he would have wanted. Like, Feywild seems like a great way to grow up. God damn it, that looks nice. Like,
right, yeah.
Oh, an adventurer with a happy childhood. It's gross.
I would say an honorable mention would be to willingly be able to turn yourself into a horror show.
Oh, big one.
If you
oh,
wanted yeah. to freak people out, like some idiot at a bar starts trying to pick a fight and you're like...
Matt Mercer is jealous of that. I don't have a character in the game, but I would love to be able to do that. Full on Beetlejuice, that shit.
Probably yes. Want the wardrobe. I want the powers. I want all of it.
Yeah. You probably have the wardrobe.
Intense, man.
I'm working on it, man.
I'm hoping for your Aladdin cosplay one day.
It's good.
Hey, I've got pieces.
Are they remaking Beetlejuice?
Probably.
I think
it's a sequel.
But there's a musical
with Michael Keaton.
There's this, and there's
but he's not Beetlejuice.
He's Lydia.
Yep.
Yes. Amazing.
I'm here for that.
Yeah.
Thank you for boat and you're exclamation point.
Pick a second one.
Someone pulls from the tower
and says,
answers the question.
Pick two.
No, it says PLZ. Sam.
Okay.
Take us to the moon, Dogecoin.
It's so nice to be like the sane one at this table for once. It's really like,
listen.
34.
30. No, put it back on the top. You know how this works.
Did you just like punch it out? That was so quick.
He just threw it at me.
Yeah.
Did it strike our Danny?
No, I would never. I would never strike Danny.
It felt aggressive.
All right, all right.
One strike. I'll keep that in mind.
I could take it.
Yeah, you can.
Katie_Ray22 on Instagram.
Katie Ray?
No,
not a Katie.
It's spelled RAE.
Marisha changed her name.
Sarah and Ray's sister.
Yes.
Oh, Sarah Ray. Yeah.
Sarah Ray.
You all play D&D professionally, and some appear in other campaigns across the genre as well. How do you keep it fun for yourself and not turning too much into something that you have to do out of obligation?
Wow, what a good question.
Actually.
And also, if your character was a rock, what kind of rock would it be?
yeah. Too late.
That's a great question.
It kind of helps that we started doing it on our own. So, like, our foundation is always going to be, like, basic slapdickery, make each other laugh, play for, like there's no ticking clock or need to do anything for us. Like, I always just go back to that room where we're, like, shoving our face full of food, laughing at each other until tears are running down our cheeks. And that's just been maintained, as you can see from us, picking on Matt every time he calls a blue flower a peridium.
Oh boy!
I saw that happen. And was like,
that was my mistake. That was my mispronunciation of what I wanted to say, and now it's canon, and I can't do anything about it.
Professional D&D players would have let that go, but not us, Chucklefox.
Nope.
These ass clowns pounced on it.
Yeah, I think if we built this rather than like stumbled into it, it would not necessarily feel the way it does. I don't know if I could have handled like deciding this was a thing rather than already kind of having a full, like, yeah, once everything starts, it's just like I forget pretty easily.
I like the way it came together, like stumble, slapdickery and all. Like it's hard work, but like, you know, we've stumbled into building this thing and we now have the responsibilities of, like, you know, seeing how we can grow it and how we can take care of everyone who's now part of this family that we continue to kind of find new possibilities with. But the reason it's, for me at least, the reason that it stays so fresh and doesn't become a drag or anything or just a pure responsibility is all of you. It's you and the people we bring at the table. Like, it's funny, the core of everything we do is the thing I look forward to most every week.
Yeah.
And the minute we get at that table, like, everything else just goes away. No matter how stressful the days or weeks that lead up to it are, the minute we're at that table, it all just melts away for a few hours. And that's still magic 8 years later, and I love that.
It's weird to have VO gigs where, like, you know that you might, like, be going to scream for 4 hours, and you're like, oh, I gotta prepare myself, probably have a headache afterwards, I'm gonna sweat, I'm not gonna be able to talk afterwards. Like, I always look forward to this, because it's just us.
Yeah.
Plus, we make some super serious characters that really keep a high bar of quality.
Good pull this round. Yeah.
Katie Ray brought up a really interesting point, though. Do you guys get paid?
No.
Thank you so much, Vorboat and Katie Ray 22. We will be saying goodbye to Sam for the evening. He has to get home to his kids. Thanks for your time. Your cookies will be outside.
Okay. No, it's so much fun. It's so much fun doing this. It's like being it's like being in a marriage. Like you keep learning new things about your partners every time you see them.
That's true. Yeah. And there's work, and you got to do the work.
It's a little work,
but it's like it's fucking.
And also, we have sex with each other all the time.
That's right.
Less so these days, which I really am. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's just spin a wheel, you know. Every time before we come in.
Every night, we do a rollies.
Do a rollies.
That's how rollies started.
And we figure out who's going home with who. Yeah. And if you tie, three of us got sevens, I guess.
We're about to make a whole bunch of people's D&D game a whole lot more complicated and interesting.
Oh my goodness.
Oh no. Oh. That's too much.
don't let Tumblr run with this, please.
I know.
They already have it.
We're kidding.
No, we're not.
For the most part. Thank you, Vorbote and Katie _Ray22. And if you have an evergreen question for our Tower of Inquiry, you can enter it at critroll.com/tower. Block B.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Which is, I'm sure, it was in all caps. You say things in all caps in a shouty voice.
But not if it's back
the
little.
The cold open had me yelling in the.
Yeah, but they didn't have a highlighter. If it has a highlighter, then
you leave it alone?
You leave anything with a highlighter alone. That's common knowledge.
Marisha, nobody told me about the color-coded. And with that, do we pick another tower question?
No, it says what to say. We've never had media training.
Gosh, you're pretty.
Let's so slide, pretty. This is my third time.
Oh my God, we are fucked.
Slide into the deep dive. Danny Carr. Can you please bring us the yum-yum what's-its?
Oh, never do that again.
That's what it says. It was written that way.
That's me ever again.
Ever.
See, it's highlighted.
Yes, that one's
I want to know who's tankers. Responsible for this. Copy!
That's our incredible
Kyle.
Producer, Kyle Shire.
That's definitely some Kyle shit.
Oh, you hear him?
Yep, I hear that.
We love you, Kyle.
We're going to take turns pulling questions from our tankards, and since I am the tavern keeper, I decide who goes first, and that person will be Taliesin Hefe.
Woo! All right. Here we go. What do we got?
Ashton learned that Abanina was part of the Hishari. How is he handling that revelation, and do they want to go back and talk to her more?
Who's that person?
Oh, so we found out. Oh, God, yeah.
The leader of the Leaf and the Loam. The woman in the Leaf.
I know what a loam is.
Leaf and the Loam.
Oh, was Hishari.
Was apparently involved with the Hishari and knew a bunch of stuff, but it didn't occur to me to ask them about it.
Why and they're alive?
Yes.
They're the one who helmed the assault on the Temple of the Dawnfather with them, and they found out that she was part of the Hishari cult 20 years ago, long after they had left the village.
And that was a cult that adopted you?
That was the cult I was born in.
You were born there, and then you were put up. You were abandoned.
And you
I wasn't abandoned. I think I've covered this before. Yeah, so yeah. I wasn't abandoned. It was whatever went the fuck wrong and blew them all up. Teleported me out of there into the fucking deserts.
Wait, we know of something that can blow up and teleport people.
Yep.
This.
It wasn't, as far as I know, at least Ashton's memory of it, although again, it was a long time ago, is different. It wasn't like a big white flash as far as, yeah. But again, it's shady. It was more of a portal.
Are you extraordinarily old or are you like decades old?
I'm decades old, okay. I'm not extraordinarily old.
Holy shit, you didn't ask more? This was in Isilra?
It already traveled for days northward.
So I wasn't gonna turn everybody around. I was like, okay, putting a fucking bookmark here. We are coming back to this once the moon is at least vaguely settled.
Damn.
That's good juice. Buck. We gotta go.
We're gonna go to Silver. We're gonna end up in Vasselheim some point, I'm sure.
I'm gonna make
They're
my needs known.
They're fucked up there.
So you know, all I got needs.
All campaigns end up in Vasselheim.
Clockwise, that's you.
Last one didn't.
Yeah, no.
Most campaigns. One campaign.
One campaign.
Shall go.
Yes. Oh, me?
You?
Up with thee,
Shibu.
How is FCG doing, having parted from Frida for now? What was that goodbye like for them? David.
It was sad and hard saying goodbye to Frida. Also sad saying goodbye to Christian.
Love them.
It was, I don't know, I felt like I should leave the group. But I also felt like I've done that once already, yeah. So I can't do that again. Yeah. But also, okay. The main reason I thought I should stick around was because I'm the only one who cares about gods. Y'all, you people are atheist heathens.
You don't know that.
I do. Chet, I asked everybody. Super,
I didn't answer.
Well, that's just because you're lazy.
Because I was not paying attention to you. That's correct.
But no, it's tough. It's tough being the only godly one. And I figure you guys are going to need some god magic wherever we're going.
Maybe.
So I can't abandon you. And besides, Frida's a hearty folk. They'll be fine. Mm-hmm. We'll catch up. We'll still be able to end our days together. And we can live thousands of years. We've got batteries. We can just recharge.
We've got time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Is that how it works?
Okay. As long as the gods stay alive.
Oh, God. What if it's like Duracell or something?
That's it. You have 3 more weeks.
Oh, no!
What do you do?
That would actually be amazing if just one day you were just like,
ticking.
And you're out of batteries.
You should be rolling a D100 just like me.
Yeah. I should.
I set that rule.
No, I love it. But yeah, that was a hard goodbye. Our first love affair on the show, but now we got some.
And a passionate, fiery one. It was good.
We got more. We got three ways. We got Imogen and Lautna with a kiss.
The kiss.
I loved it. I was so surprised.
I hadn't had surprise face like that since campaign one. Like I did the whole eyebrow up, open mouth thing, just like.
Yeah, I was surprised because it's been so long, and I just kind of figured like. Lauren Marisha must have talked about this. That's just not somewhere they want to go.
I'm fine
with that. These are their characters. And then all of a sudden, they're just in it. They're just tonguing each other.
I got the impression from Marisha she had no idea.
Really?
I mean, it seemed like Marisha had no idea that was coming.
I know
fans would be like, how'd you not know? It was so obvious, but like, we don't know.
I mean, in that moment, I don't think she knew it was coming, but I wouldn't surprise me if they had like this. I mean, I'm sure they'd, in fact, I know they've discussed the dynamics of the characters and like, you know, what, there's definitely a conversation.
Got me with a reaction. I felt like it was just like mine.
Oh yeah. I think the moment caught her off guard. I don't think they've talked about where they are as characters. I think they kind of maybe talked about loosely, you know, down the road, do we go this path? Were we both feeling for this? So it wasn't like, you know, they weren't both in the same boat on it. Mm-hmm. But I think that was a while back. And I think the moment just kind of got her like it got the rest of us.
To really like get couples going.
I mean,
right?
True.
Yeah.
It's true.
It's grow fonder.
So does drama.
And it's been sort of established that that's something that could happen. So I'm just saying, in next game, if you two are just like, and then I go over and I kiss him, like, it could happen, just right here, you two.
I offered the spa release, a la Chetney.
Oh yes.
Yeah, the threesome, spa. I can't remember what it was.
Your idea left a great impression.
Right there.
Yeah. Yep. I might forget where I am in the middle of it, being 400 years old, but it's a great package.
It's almost like it's like a second re-entry.
Oh, true. Boy.
You're up.
I'm up, okay.
You're up. Okay, let me get this question here. Oh, okay.
It's only if you want.
Matt, where are Bol and Caleb, Matthew?
That might have been my.
Is that in all caps?
It's in all caps, yeah. I don't know. Maybe we'll find out later.
Oh! I'll do
another one. Rude!
I know. I'll do another one because, yeah, I'm not going to answer that one right now.
Where's Veth?
Renato?
Yeah.
Who gives a shit?
That is great. Matt. Why did you choose Wild Mountain Isildra for the party split? What factors determined the two-party makeups? The choices were made predominantly because, for Wild Mountain, I wanted to put us in a location that would give us the opportunity to delve a little bit into Chetney's backstory, especially given the character that I was making with Abria, and we were discussing kind of where she was coming from.
Fudger.
That was her plan. I was like, okay, cool. So with all these all these connections here, I think putting us in the Crystal Sands Tundra and near Uthodurn would give us the opportunity to delve into you, who, like, most of your backstory has been way elsewhere, and so it was an opportunity to throw us into that and kind of get into that space there. Plus, the proximity to Malayasmir really was an opportunity, if you were interested in pursuing it, to learn a little more about Ludinus's history, find some details about his past and what his plans might be. So that was kind of all those things together was like, all right, Wild Mounts, Crystal Sands, Tundra, that area is going to be one group. The Isilra group was dealt partially because we hadn't been able to explore much of Isilra in a long time. Really, much of it is kind of uncharted as far as like campaign explorations considered. So I wanted to show some more regions of that I was hoping to kind of show, and also to give us the opportunity to delve into a space that was more both god-centric and very not god-centric. Like, it's interesting. Isilra and Vasselheim, you think it's like, oh, it's the god continent.
Yeah.
No, it's the continent of extremes. You know, most other places are kind of like, they ebb and flow as far as like faith goes and understanding. In Isilra, it's like either you're very religious or a lot of civilizations and cultures are very non-religious and are very much based in the natural spirits of the land and the history before the gods, and that's kind of where a lot of the tension in the continent stems from. So I want to explore some of that, and it also brought us closer to some of Ashton's backstory and history to kind of tease that thread a bit. So that also checked a lot of boxes for something that I thought would be fun to delve into. So those were my reasonings in a nutshell.
That you then didn't talk to.
What the fuck? And we were like, I was so invested in what was going on in that town that I was just captivated by having. Oh, I'm going back.
Going back.
You're up.
Kids, don't ever sleep on your backstory, because if you make a partial joke backstory like I did, you will eventually end up there and confront
Santa Claus.
Santa Claus.
Joke backstory. Don't touch him, not even once.
He was so apologetic, though. I couldn't do it. I'll take Drixlich down at some point. Okay, the bounty on Chetney's head was set by Tuin Otwana of the, am I saying that right?
Yep.
Of the Prism Emporium. Yep. How is he feeling to know that his past actions have come back to collect? I fucking loved it. There was a half a second where I thought about just looking at the bounty hunter and being like, I give up. Take me back. Let's go. Uh-huh. Show me who collected the bounty, just so I could maybe close the loop on that one. But you know, Chetney doesn't like to leave loose threads. Can't have collections out there against me. Gonna have to go back and make some sausage. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But that dwarf was stout.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he basically just reached a point where he's like, okay, I didn't expect more than one. I'm gonna go ahead and recollect my thoughts and come back more prepared.
Well, I thought about offering him money too and seeing if he would just bounce, or if he was, I was worried he was from the Claret Order. Like, gotcha. I thought he was one of the guys that was
creeping.
Since I bit Frida.
I think bought is the past tense of bit.
I bought Frida?
Yeah. Yeah. I want Frida to be a werebot.
A werematon?
Yeah.
A werematon?
Uh-huh.
Well, we have to wait till the next full moon and see what happens.
Because then I could have Frida bite me, and could be one.
That would be the most awesome Werewolf in London transformation sequence, because
it's basically a transformer.
Instead of just,
you've invented a transformer.
Instead of just screaming, like flesh stretching, it would just be like metal creaking and squeaking and Tin Man sound effects.
That would be the sound every moon,
Run!
Yep, straight up. Although all of us have our own different transformer sounds.
It's funny that you two, when you do the transformer sound, you go up. You go.
That's up to robot, and then the other one's down to. That was from robot to wolf.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
And then
it always goes up. Actually, it did. It's a check mark. It goes.
Fucker, you voiced Starscream once. Come on.
Doesn't it?
Get with it.
It kind of dips, right? There's a dip first.
I thought I was a GoBot.
Yeah, the going up one does that little dip.
Yeah.
I will fight you.
Do we pull another question?
More. We go around and around.
You're
We've
up.
Done this before.
I have.
We've all done this before. Oh my god. We are at episode 15.
This is non-work hours, Danny. My brain is already.
Kind of already answered this one, so pick another one. That just got.
Danny, thank you for putting up with us every time.
Y'all pay me.
You're the best. You're the best. Around.
I literally just answered this. This is the same. That was the same card. One more time. That's weird. Yeah, I think we got a double in there. That was
motherfucker.
A double.
Yeah. Ashton is ready to be a hero. What in particular inspired this desire and focus to the point where he is requesting clothes that are legendary hero fashion?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
they are asking for that.
Yeah, kind of committed, especially after what happened to Laudna, watching that all go down in the cave. Mm. kind of finally committed to, well, I guess I fucking care now. I was really trying not to, because it's really nice not having anything to lose. Real good. It's a good feeling. Also, well, shit.
Can I say real fast? I'm so sorry. Your moment of pulling Prism away and then going to Laudna and comforting her was one of my all-time favorite moments of this campaign.
Thank you.
It was beautiful, just being like, you don't need to see this to Prism, and then going to Laudna and making sure she knew that you were there for her.
I was sobbing. No, I have a crew again.
I watched the episodes that our group wasn't in because I care about you all, but I know Sam hasn't. Can we refresh what happened to?
Well, no, I think he's talking about killing Bordor.
Yeah, about Laudna losing her shit and just going in.
Okay, and that's what it was.
Kind of, especially since Prism is like literally, like fresh out of like high school, really is not thinking clearly.
Prism of the Cobalt Soul.
Oh, yeah, Prism of the Cobalt. And so it was very much the, no, this is just not for you yet.
It was such, as another person who loves, this meant a lot to me, as another person who just deeply loves punk culture, it was so incredibly emblematic of the way the punk and the hardcore scene really just protects their own.
Yes.
It was beautiful. It made me think of seeing everybody in the mosh pit and when you form the circle. And it was just,
thank you for seeing that and acknowledging that. That was very intentional.
It was beautiful. It was fucking beautiful.
It's definitely now that, like, well, committed to the cause. We're doing this. And also now kind of having a notion of, like, I've got a supervillain to stop. We've all kind of got this big bad to stop. Maybe it's time to not look like I don't give a fuck. It's to look a little bit more like you give a fuck. And also feeling a little empowered to maybe make some decisions about, you know, who I want to be and what the world should look like.
Somebody who loves comic books, I feel like Ashton is your most comic book character.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yes. You're correct.
Hell yeah.
That's wonderful.
I like that.
It'll be a thing that one day I will talk about FCG's influence on Ashton at this point, but it's not time to talk about that yet.
Talk about it right now. We're on the side of dive.
Unleash the doge.
Mine says, FCG's connection with the Changebringer seems to be going strong, and her giving clear direction with the coin. How are they feeling about the Changebringer lately? Great.
Yeah.
I was hoping you would go a little bit more in-depth, but
on that one.
it's really fun. It's really fun for me to get into God stuff because it's just not something I'm familiar with or comfortable with. And our prior campaigns, I haven't really paid much attention to the God mythology stuff.
Or the history, or really anything.
But mainly the God stuff.
It can be a lot of fun.
Or
I know it can.
I did my religious character and had a great time with it.
I'm excited about it because, and the Changebringer seems like she hasn't led me astray so far, so that's good.
She will. Ring girl looking ass with the creepy ass hair. I'm not about that shit. Those descriptions can go anytime. You're always like, I'm just keep waiting for you to like fucking crawl out of the TV screen.
It's clean hair. It's not well water hair.
He does not describe it as clean hair. It is well water hair.
It doesn't work.
Can't tell me otherwise.
What is Provi?
It's Thor hair. It's Thor hair, Travis.
It's the many possible roads ahead of you.
You should get hair. Oh, it's imagery.
Yeah,
it's metaphor. I get it.
You should get hair.
Just see the grunge.
Like Thor.
And Ringu.
Oh, yeah, maybe that would endear FCG more to the Changebringer if FCG had long hair like she did. Maybe I should look
into
that.
Don't you have cables or coils?
I do, but they're only like this short.
You could Chia pet it. I mean, there's a lot of options.
Put hair to match your imaginary tongue and your weird feet. Just keep...
Slowly turning into Cousin It.
You keep adding body parts to FCG. Fleshing out the character.
Gross. Yeah. No, I'm excited. I really want to talk to her more. I'll admit, I feel guilty every time I do anything with the Changebringer, like I'm being selfish and taking the spotlight. I want to make sure that you guys have spotlight too, because, like, you know, I don't want to hog the time. I want to talk to her a lot.
You're a good.
I know.
You don't hog the table.
Peek into the divine realm, otherwise we get nada.
Every time you do, something new happens.
It's true.
It's driving Ashton nuts, too. I love it. Oh,
driving Ashton nuts.
Absolutely batshit.
Wait, bat in a bad way or in a...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In a good way. But yeah, keep at it. It's so good. I love it so much.
Okay.
I love it.
Yeah.
Can I talk to the Changebringer more?
Right now?
I feel like it.
She's going to possess you soon. It's going to be great.
okay, I will. Because now I was looking at my spells last game. I've got like four different ways to talk to the Changebringer. I've got commune. I've got divine intervention. I've got
commune. Summon a commune.
Oh, fuck. We're bringing the Hishari back.
Everybody,
let's
come to me.
I've got divine intervention.
I've got
there's another one. There's another one where you can ask three questions. Or is that?
It's divination.
That's divination, divine intervention, commune, and then also the coin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The coin, I can also talk to her that way. That's four different ways. Yeah. Oh, and then there's legend lore, which is another spell I've never
heard. That's a big
one. That's not really talking to her, though.
No, you just...
That's like searching my memory back.
Correct. Well, and
learned about Star Razor.
Yep.
I was using legend lore.
That's a big spell, especially for somebody that's been around as long as you have.
Yep.
So I could just, I don't even need you fuckers. I could just talk to like Changebringer for like 100%. A whole episode.
You got legend lore?
That's definitely happening next
game. That has components.
Like you can unlock things you don't even know you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got hard drives in
there. Bro, yeah.
I gotta go searching.
Just keep reaching out to that god four or five times a day. Changebringer, real fast.
real fast.
I know it's been like just real fast. How's your day?
It's like me sending y'all Slack messages like one line at a time.
Hey, Fred Changebringer, look what I made you.
That would be amazing.
That would be so good. Hey, Changebringer, she's not answering anymore. I don't know what happened.
She changed her number.
She is the Changebringer.
SMS, message not received. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. How many texts have you sent since you got a reply? Oh, that's four.
Left me on red.
Oh, no.
Left me on red.
Too far.
Oh, all right, it's my turn. Mm.
All right. Oh, one
pulling it out from the bag. All right, there we go. Matt, two guest characters have betrayed the party now, you and Bordor. It's true. How did you go about making sure that these interlopers were very different from each other? It was primarily a conversation with the players and what they wanted to do. For Yu's arc, there was definitely a direct driving goal that was in opposition to the group. But it was up to them. I mean, it was up to both of them to decide what they wanted to do with it. And like, I had conversations with each about like, you know, based on where it goes and the relationships go with the characters, the stakes that are there for your character and your you know, position in Exandria, however you want to handle this, do so. But know, and I told them both when they were creating the characters, know that it is challenging to play a character like this and that there might be an opportunity before you're ready for the players to try and suss out that you are not to be trusted and that could lead to conflict before you expect it to. So be at the ready, or at least be very quick to come up with things to deflect if the case may be. So we held the conversations about that, making sure that everyone kind of knew the challenge that was ahead of it, the possibilities that were ahead of it. But you know, the when I was talking to Utkarsh with Bordor, it was also letting him know what the previous guest, you know, what Erica had done with you, and kind of, you know, when he was making his character, I was like, what do you want to do? And he's like, oh, well, where would I fit in the world? And I'm like, well, here's the story that's happened recently. And I was explaining all the different factions and everything that went down with the Apogee Solstice, and I mentioned the Vanguard were the villains. He's like, can I be one of them? And I'm like, I mean, you can, but
awesome.
Like that's it's a big swing, and it's not going to be easy to do. But if you want to go that route, then we can definitely do that. And he's like, okay, I want to do that. So we started creating this character, and we figured out the narrative of like he was shunted with you guys over there. He knew desperately that he was alone and in a bad place, so he like found a nearby farmer who was like going through the area, killed him, took his clothes. And just masqueraded as him this whole time. And it's a little bit of like Utkarsh being just so fucking charming and also playing naive to such a degree and making choices like laying down in the middle of a battlefield that like made it seem so pathetic at times that you didn't read it as conniving.
Yep.
But he also was very, very smart and like occasionally doling out responses and bits of philosophy that teased that he was a little more present than you expect and also not quite agreeing with everything being spoken and asking questions to get information from them about, like, how many did you kill, you know? Were these people bad? What's your perspective on this? Like, if you go back, like, he was plucking throughout his entire time there.
Yeah.
And then every episode, he kind of be like, oh, God, I think they've discovered me. I don't know what to do. What am I going to do? I'm like, do what you want to. He's like, I don't know. I feel like, do I...
do I like them a lot? And like, do I become an ally? I'm like, do you? How do you feel? He's like, no, I hate them. Then go with that. Awesome. Then go with that. And from the very beginning, he's like, I'm saving my fifth level spell slot for them. One of these days it's gonna happen. Like he was just saving it. And the minute he like stood up and started doing his like his real drop monologue, I was like, oh fuck, here we go. Oh man. It was so cool. So yeah, anyway, it was a lot of discussion between them to make sure that they felt unique, but also were aware of the challenges and just talking a lot of, you know, back and forth about that progression.
So cool.
Got it. Yeah, that one hurt. That one hurt real bad.
I'm proud of him.
It was really good.
Dope. Oh yes. Chetney made the toys from Orm's childhood.
That's pretty cool.
You bet. What was that revelation like for Chetney and you at the table? He expected it. Listen, guys, sometimes we have our, what is it, 15 minutes of fame? Sometimes it's 15 years of fame. Sometimes it's 150 years of fame. Been a little bit longer for that for Chetney. No, it was great. That's the whole point, is that he's been working all across continents making toys and furniture alike. Mm-hmm. He's ascended the steps of political power and made things for the Cerberus Assembly. A couple of these fucking chairs. and lots of toys with that little inscription on the leg.
The asses of power.
That's right, and he's always looking for the next avenue into enterprise. Never know where C-Pop will take you. Maybe your home will be made by C-Pop Industries first. Or your airship.
And he might be Orm's dad, we also established, right?
I don't know about maybe, but, you know. Listen.
Roll that D100, see what pops up.
Also, with 400 years, you're not going to remember everybody.
Of course.
What do the kids call it, a body count?
Yes.
Yeah, Chetney's body count is like...
I don't think... They did call it that. They don't anymore. Officially.
They don't? They don't call it...
You killed it. You killed it.
Fuck.
I think that was the end of it right there.
Shit. Yeah. Well... He's been very busy.
I think it's canon.
It's canon.
It's pretty, yeah. That's what it is. Canon is definitely.
You know, speaking of things I wish we had done, I wish that I had made an actual wish with Fern's grandmother.
Wait, you can do that?
Well, I think she's a hag, right?
Oh, like a bargain. Like,
yeah, like if shit. I mean, like that in previous be. Campaigns, remember,
sure.
You told us even in like home games, people would go up and make a wish and it would come back to sometimes negatively affect them in the most random moments.
Depends on the power of the individual and depends on the scope of the wish. Some powerful fae enjoy granting modicums of willful interest with a dire cost often.
See? That feels...
Go back.
We probably will. Yeah. And if she's not too busted up from covering our asses on our last exit, I'm definitely going to ask for a wish.
That was a fun
one. What would it be?
I don't know.
To be young again?
I mean, age is just a number.
To be the same age as Deanna?
But that number divided by 10, maybe?
But that would actually be pretty cool, yeah. Back to my fully haired, like, super buff. Man, Chetney was jacked in his first 100 years.
I want official art of what Chetney looked like 200 years ago.
Suntanned, but like super oily, like suntan. Like, you know, he's been out there every day. Crazy jacked, no leg muscles.
Ben is hot, yeah.
He's also 6'8".
Gravity's a bitch as you get older. It's just
spine is compacted real
but
bad.
You know, ears and nose, that cartilage, it's a motherfucker.
Oh my goodness.
Well, canon.
Canon.
My best creation. Yes. One more speed round.
Let's do it.
Yeah. There they are. Let's do it. Alright.
Speed!
Racing.
What did Ashton think of the people of Hearthdale and the Idolians? I can always never pronounce it. Idolons, thank you. It takes don't spell it that way in my notes.
Idolons.
A little provincial for their taste. In fact, the whole experience was a little provincial for their taste. Not comfy in rural environments, not really their vibe. But definitely knows when they see shit people when they see shit people and was not, and yeah. It was a... I don't know how to put it beyond that.
But they're like older than time, right? Eidolons? They're like creatures from before the
Eidolons are the spirits of the lands, and they are extensions of the primordial titans. They are like the.
That particular part of it
Mr.
was
first men.
again, it's that weird rumble of history and connection, which is starting to get under their skin. Mm-hmm. So it is very much the, do I come from somewhere? Does this mean anything,
Dad?
Or, well, I mean, honestly, like, even the rock skin.
Can you smell?
Of,
no, not
yeah,
that rock.
Yeah, because your earliest memories, you had
regular skin.
I was not made of stone until much later.
Yeah.
So something happened, and, like, I just assumed it was just, well, shit happens, but now it's, yeah, maybe, yeah, Ashton doesn't really think about where they came from, or that it was a place. It's just time. There's no.
Start asking more questions.
Well, I mean, this is then the whole, like, that was, you know, it's been the whole thing of maybe this does matter. Maybe this is something shit that I have to look at. And yeah, that was a little, I don't want to say spiritual, but it was definitely a little overwhelming.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So that's what
I loved it. FCG felt guilty during Laudna's outburst regarding Team Wildemount having a good time. Did this interaction color how he feels about things moving forward? Probably did. Those stress points, man. You never know what's going to make one. I think that, yeah, it's going to be, I think just generally it'll be interesting moving forward to see, like, you know, Fresh Cut Grass wants to make sure to take care of the party and make sure that they don't let down the party. But also, if the party is going to start wanting to do different things, like things against the gods or things contrary to what FCG thinks is right, that's going to be an interesting conflict because it's almost like iRobot, right? Like you're the three rules of robotics in iRobot, Asimov, there's like you're not allowed to harm the human, but you also have to follow the orders of the human, and I forget what the third
one is. Unless it contradicts with the first rule.
Yeah. But so, like, there might be some of that coming up. Like, he wants to help the party, but not if the party wants to go against the gods in any way. Like, that'll be a really interesting conflict that I hope we get to see.
Dang. I'm enjoying conflicting
folks. Yeah, I think the party is more split than you think it is. I think there are, I think it's kind of possibly an even split between people who are like, no, this is worth saving.
I tried to tease it out a couple episodes ago, but I got to do more because I don't know who's, like, everyone right now just seems like, gods. But I feel like there's some among us who are like, fuck the gods. And I want to know who they are so that I can kill them.
Yes.
So you can wear their face.
Yes.
Let's go.
So I love it.
Put their hair on
Hannibal
mine.
Hannibal FCG.
Yeah.
That tongue
I'm
meal.
So excited. More tongues.
It's pretty wild. You've only had one freak out.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'll just start slapping you in your sleep.
That second one was, it was
that'll
happening.
Do it. Don't let it happen.
I am.
How has it been exploring the ups and downs of religion within Exandria? Not just faith in the prime deities, but different kinds of faith, like that of the Loam the Leaf and Zephra. It's been fun. If you haven't figured out already, it's a big theme of this campaign. Each campaign has multiple different themes, but this one definitely is faith and what that means in a very relative sense. Faith can be so many things, and it can mean so many different things to different people. I like exploring gods and religion, both in the positive light and the not-so-positive light. As just like in our real world, there's plenty of both. And I think based on the themes of Ludinus, the Ruby Vanguard, the pantheon, kind of what we've built over these years in Exandria, I think it's a wonderful place to kind of explore what often in fantasy settings is just a given. There are gods and they exist and they're powerful and they're mysterious. And then you do the rest, focus on the small world. This campaign, I'm definitely interested in going like, but what if small world could destroy the gods, and how would they react to that, and how would the world react to that sort of turmoil of conflicting philosophies and drives and interests, and it's getting fun. Cool. It's getting weird.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Cool. I love it.
All right, wrap us up.
Bring it home.
Yeah. That's cheese.
What are you?
Cheese and crackers.
Oh, we already answered that one. I'm gonna read them all. Oh, okay. How did Chetney feel being bait for the demon while trying to get the in-betweenus flowers? The
in-betweenus flowers, goddamn.
The chode flowers.
The grundle growths.
Grundle growths.
The taint petals.
Taint root.
I'm not playing this game because I want to live to see another session.
Thou shalt not anger the DM.
The grundle greens.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I I loved it. You always have to have a little bit of bait in your party. It's my turn. It's my turn to be the bait. Especially because I'm, you know, super stealthy and I can go invisible and stuff. It was awesome. I loved it.
Those demons were creepy. That big horned thing was creepy. That we fought last game.
It was.
And we still don't know what it is or why that smoky grove was smoking.
The circular, like, ember patch.
Cool. That's right.
I'm sure it's totally tame and not dangerous at all.
Yeah, totally.
Or haven't found from this from.
Barney? How do you spell Barney?
Barney.
I think
Barney.
B-A-R-I.
Barney.
You got it. I
should have brought my notes.
Barney.
And we don't have enough flowers, right?
You were told to fill the satchel. You got about a quarter to a third.
Keyleth's gonna die then. Oh well.
Who's gonna die?
Keyleth.
Oh yes.
We only found enough. Sorry.
Well, I mean, she can't even straighten her antlers.
I know.
So. You guys are brutal.
Savage.
All right.
She's awesome. It's time for another poll from the Tower of Inquiry. Thank you. Yeah. Is it Matt again?
I think it's Matt again.
No, you choose.
You choose.
Oh, it's Taliesin.
I was making it, you know, it almost worked.
Yeah,
it
you
almost
were the worked. Devil on my yep. shoulder. Yep. And then I remembered you have horns and wings.
Let's begin to be a problem. Let's start problems.
What you got?
Yes. God, you guys, why do you gotta make it so hard already?
You got to pick who came up
That's
here.
That's true.
And I choose chaos. 41.
41.
Choose chaos.
Nice. All right. This one is particularly prescient. From Dio Raven, if your character had to pull from the Tower of Inquiry, what would their approach be?
Oh, that's cool. I think Fresh Cut Grass would go up like R2-D2. Like some things would come out. Find the exact right spot. Yes, and get electrocuted by it.
Mr. Wizard just straight in.
Yeah.
One block would just.
I've managed to do it like once. I'm very proud of that.
Chetney would approach and very lovingly coax the wood, speak to it, get a whiff, caress it, let it know it is loved. And then strike! And flee into the night with a rose petal on the pillowcase.
Have you fucked wood before?
Oh yeah, baby!
Matt, how would Ludinus approach the Tower of Inquiry?
Oh boy.
From 120 feet away and other people doing it for him.
121 feet away. Just out of range. Yep,
smartest person in the
world. Ludinus has long hair. The Changebringer has long hair. Oh my God.
This elven son of a bitch! one more.
We're doing it again? You or
Frank,
somebody else?
Who's next?
Not me, Matt. I suck at that.
You suck at that.
Yeah, I'm going to abuse this power for as long as I can.
That is the perk of the Tavern Keeper.
Yep.
Ooh, it's already jiggling.
That's what I said. You guys made it hard. Oh, wow.
Okay, fine.
Made it hard.
Be that way.
Five.
Five!
Then
five.
Number five is alive.
Oh, wow.
25?
Oh, hey, fuck you guys. This question's for me. Hey! from THWolf1818, sorry. This question is actually for Danny. As the official lorekeeper, has there been anything that has come up in game that has completely taken you by surprise? All of it. Like, legitimately, I never know what's going to happen, and it's one of the fun things about doing my job is that every single time we shoot, I get to watch you guys make magic. And I get to cry and scream and tear my hair out and watch you all make incredible things and be surprised. And I will say that one of the big things that really came out of nowhere for me or took me by surprise, I gotta give it to Jester and the cupcake, man.
Oh yeah.
Oh good.
Nobody at the table saw that coming.
It's iconic for a reason, man.
It was the best for it to be like, that was sprinkled with the dust of deliciousness.
Yes.
And Matt goes like, okay. Remind me what that does. We were like, yes! That was perfect.
That's my favorite thing to do in a campaign is to give little random weird fucking items to you guys and then forget about them. And then all of a sudden, a year and a half later, you hit me with it. And
love
I'm like,
potion.
Ah, shit! Right!
Chairs.
I still should have, the pipe and board or man, I should have picked up that one. I was really hoping.
No.
I was hoping to get something.
Well, that's an interesting point, actually. Because the pipe that you gave him, the image that the smoke creates is their moment of, what is it? It was
most heroic, or their
biggest accomplishment.
Yeah, that's right.
And he says, and it shows all of you guys together after our first battle. And I was like, oh, that's cute. Oh. The reality was, it was that he had convinced you all that he was trustworthy.
I rewound that one.
Infiltrating the ones that killed all of his friends and tried to attack.
Damn, that's slick.
Because at first I was like, really? That's the best thing that you and now like, oh yeah, that is the best thing.
Yep, of everything he's done. He wasn't like a high-ranking member of the Ruby Vanguard, so like that's a big moment.
Thank you, Did Raven and T.H. Wolf. Is that
D.O.?
D.O. Raven, that was not my fault. Remember, if you have a singularly saucy evergreen question, Tower of Inquiry for the Tower of Inquiry, that is not a fuck, marry, kill question, which, have we had one of those yet? It's okay. Seriously, stop asking those. You can plop those in at critroll.com/tower. We are going to take a quick break, but don't leave, because when we come back, we are going to be playing Super Fight while we answer some leftover Tankard questions. Seriously, don't leave. We will all cry if you leave. We'll do it. Big hot fat tears. Why do you hate fun? Cut to break.
That's it for the podcast version of this episode of Foresighted Dive. In the video version, we wrap up each episode by playing some games, which don't always translate well to an audio-only format. Honestly, it's mostly yelling, truly. So be sure to check out the rest of the episode via the VOD for the full chaos. If you've enjoyed this deep dive into the campaign, be sure to drop us a rating and a review on whatever podcast platform you're using. Your thoughts may just encourage a new critter to take the plunge. Foresighted Dive airs the first Tuesday of every month at 7 p.m. Pacific on twitch.tv/criticalrole and youtube.com/criticalrole, with the VOD available on YouTube the very next day. And of course, each episode releases right here on the Critical Role Podcast Network 1 week after the initial broadcast. We'll see you again next month. Bye-bye.